not speaking for anybody else, but speaking for myself, whenever someone asks me to preach or whenever even in my own church, I stand behind God's desk. I'm not a nervous person. I've never really been nervous, really, in many situations, but I'm very cognizant of the Lord's calling. And I believe that if you ever lose sight of that, if you ever lose the cognition, if that's the word you'd like to use, of what you're being asked to do and what the Lord's told you to do, and it becomes nothing more than you letting everyone know how awesome you are, then it's a waste of your time, and more importantly, it's a waste of God's time, and potentially it can be incredibly dangerous for everybody involved. Hebrews chapter 12, this is the sixth message over the course of my time with you. We're just going to tie in it, kind of take a different direction. We're just going to talk about Jesus Christ for this last message. The title of this is just Consider Him. Consider Him. We live in an age where we consider a lot of things. There's a lot of things always in front of us, whether it's on our screens or in our jobs or on our calendars or in our schedules. It's on our radio, it's on our televisions. It's always in front of us. There's a lot of things to consider. I think sometimes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has paid the greatest price for all the things that we consider other than Him. You know, I live in a bigger city than North Pole. It's not hard to live in a bigger city than North Pole. But I live in Salt Lake City, and you can't drive anywhere or go anywhere without someone, through some means of advertisement, whether it's a hard shell sign or a digital sign or someone literally standing on the corner holding a sign, trying to get you to consider anything else except for Christ. That's the one thing here about being in North Pole, Alaska. You don't have any panhandlers. I suppose it's probably just too cold, huh? Salt Lake City, everywhere you go, there's people everywhere trying to take something from you, and they get pretty aggressive. I had one knock on my window. I finally nodded, so he punched my window. And I pulled a .45 out and pointed at his head. I said, "Punch it again." My wife, who was in the back seat at the time, was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm living in the flesh. So just mind your own business and let me get through this." He backed off, and we drove on, and I went on with my life. But you don't have any of that here. But there's all so many things just constantly trying to get our attention. Consider what someone else is thinking, or consider what this guy is trying to sell you, or just all the time. And I'd like to talk to you this last message about considering Him. Considering Him. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read the first four verses here. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." We're going to spend the next few moments together, and we're just going to consider Him. And then I'm going to leave and go back home, and I'm going to ask you when I leave that you remember to consider Him. I'm going to ask you before you make decisions to consider Him. I'm going to ask you before you take employment positions, or before you speak to your spouse, or before you speak to your kids, or before you speak to your parents, to consider Him. I'm going to ask you to make consideration of Him the way of your life. Let's pray. Father, as we lay these things out this afternoon, I pray that You would have Your way and that You would accomplish maybe what You've already started, potentially in previous messages, but also what You're sure to start in this one, in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple facts here for you just by way of introduction. American consumers spend around 8 hours of their day with some form of digital media. These facts were taken, well, it doesn't matter where they're taken from. I didn't make them up, though. I took them from a thing. Roughly double the time that is invested in traditional formats. So that means that we didn't give up the traditional formats of media. We just added 8 hours more to social media, consumer digital forms of media. That's from Statista.com. The number of net web users, is only slightly higher than the number of social media users. So basically, all online traffic is split into 50%. 50% is all your search engines, jobs, any, that's all 50, 50% traffic. And then the other 50% is social media. It is literally driving 50% of the American consumer's intake of information, what they consider. American consumers spend around 0.25 hours a week reading. So 8 hours with social media per day, 0.25 hours in the 5 day work week reading. Okay? 0.3 hours on the weekends. This is as of 2022. 20% of Americans go to church once a week, which when you get into that is really more like once every third week or so. 10% of Americans go every other week, which means that they might go for a couple holidays. 11% of Americans say that they go once a month, which means they're there for Christmas. And then 26% say they go seldom, which means they went once. 31% openly say that they never go to church. Never go to church. 1% give no opinion, no interest in even giving an opinion on the matter. Okay? There are 1,000 cable channels, give or take a couple hundred. There are between 2,000 and 2,500 satellite channels, give or take 400 or 500. DirecTV has 21 million subscribers. Dish has 10 million subscribers. So these are the traditional forms of media. This is what we take in. Entertainment. Someone's writing something and putting it to a format, and we pump it into our home and pay them the privilege to do it. Okay? But social media, and YouTube being one of the things that is qualified as social, has changed the game. Okay? So DirecTV, by far the king of satellite TV, 21 million subscribers. YouTube has 51 million channels. 51 million channels. 500 hours of content is uploaded every 60 seconds. 500 hours of content uploaded every 60 seconds. We thought, well, that must have been the end game. No. TikTok has 1.8 billion daily active users, with a time spent as an average of 5.5 hours per day on the platform per person. You're talking global control. Global control, okay? None of this, and I'm going to touch a thing here, and if I'm touching your thing, then just bear with me. None of this takes into consideration any form of gaming. None of this includes gaming. So all these hours in front of the screen, entertainment, social media, YouTube, TikTok, DirecTV, cable, none of that is whatever time Americans spend gaming. I've got people that I am trying to help right now addicted to gaming. Gaming, in my opinion, is one of the most stupid things that a man can give himself to. I won't allow it in my house. Not in my house. I wanted one so bad when I was a kid. Oh, I wanted one. I'd go over to a neighbor's house and we'd play Duck Hunter. Yeah. There we go. Super Mario Brothers. Man, I was on cloud nine. I'd come home, I'd beg my father. No. My father didn't do a lot of things right, but he did that right. And I joined the Marine Corps and I was so deployed that it was no use in having one. I remember when I got out of the Marine Corps, I'm like, I'm buying myself. I don't even know what they were, you know. I went looking for a Sega and they're like, how old are you? And I'm like, Sega's new, man. They're like, no, Sega! No, it's gone, totally done. Everyone below the age of 25 looked at me like, what did he just do? Why did he make that noise? It's okay, it's okay. So I went and I bought myself this gaming system. I brought it home. My brother was living with me. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I've always wanted to do this. I got the thing plugged in and did all my things, and I bought this game. And I started turning that thing on. The thing started vibrating in my hands. I thought I was getting electrocuted. I was like, I must have done something wrong, you know. I really tried. About 2 hours into that, I'm like, this is stupid. This feels stupid. I just got rid of it. Gaming has given way to people being exposed to fantasy world stuff that we would never watch if it was entertainment, but somehow we've convinced ourselves it's okay to interact with it and be it, like we're some kind of avatar of some world. It's evil stuff. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. But this is what America is giving themselves to. Gaming, fantasy, entertainment, screen time, zone out time. This is what we're considering. This is almost exclusively what we're considering. Entertainment. It's like the days of Rome, and we're all packed into the Colosseum, giving our thumbs up or our thumbs down, except the only ones who are dying are us. So what I want to preach to you about is the value of considering Him. And there's 4 points that we're going to look at, and then just kind of an afterthought, and we'll be all done. The first point is lay aside every weight and sin. This is found in chapter 12 and verse 1 of Hebrews. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, and this is in leading up to the idea of considering Him, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I find it interesting that the context of laying aside weight and sin is met with the requirement of running. Running. I said that earlier this week. I've never met anyone who thought, you know what I do? You know how I need to win this race? I need more gear. That's what I need. I need more weight. You know, if you've ever done any form of running, whether it's distance or sprinting, one of the things you realize pretty quickly is that the less encumbrances on you, the more potential to win you have. But somehow we've not made that connection in the Christian life. I want you to understand, to consider Him, we might need to decide to get rid of some of the things that prevent us from considering Him. And there's a lot of things that prevent us from considering Him. If I can just touch on kind of a sensitive topic, although it's very appropriate and applicable and becoming more so. Husbands, if you want to consider your wife, you might need to put aside some of the things you look at that keep you from considering her. Take that and put it wherever you want to. Okay, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. The word weight is a word that means a burden, a hindrance. It's a mass. And there are things that prevent us from considering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can add whatever you want to that. Careers, personal ideas of satisfaction and accomplishment, addictions, forms of entertainment, gaming. Okay, there are things that you don't necessarily have to have in your life to live. Did you know that? I preached a version of this to my church. There was a guy he went home and his wife, she threw a fit. Because he went home and he grabbed his whatever, I don't know systems, but there was a system he had in there, a gaming system, brought out into the garage and took a sledgehammer to it. And she was like, "Are you kidding me? We could have sold that." And he said, "No, I wanted it to hurt. I needed to make it cost me something." Because he would go home and he'd get stressed out and, well, just whatever, a little bit, and 4 hours later, he's still in it. And he's like, "You know, if I'm going to consider him, I don't need to manage this. I just need to get rid of it. I just need to get rid of it." And you can put whatever you want in that place. The word sin, it says, "Lay aside every weight and sin." The word sin is simply a word for offense. Offense. And the word beset is a word for thwarting. Thwarting. And so I understand, according to Hebrews chapter 12, that weight and sin thwarts me. It tosses me off the things that I should be doing. It gets me out of the path that I should be walking in. And for the life of me, I have no idea why we have made a life of trying to manage weight and sin and encumbrances when we could just get rid of it. Why do we try to manage these things that we prove to ourselves, excuse me, over and over and over again, don't like to be managed? But yet we try. The Bible says, just lay it aside. If you want to consider him, there's some things you might find need to just be laid aside. Just lay it aside. Colossians chapter 3, 8 through 17. Colossians 3, 8 through 17. The Bible says here, "But now ye also put off all these." Put off. Same type of idea of lay aside. So I'm going to put this off, okay? Anger. Starts right off that we've been on this all week, and I didn't necessarily write any of these messages with the thought that we would be anti-anger, but for whatever reason, the Lord has really touched on this anger issue. Put off, and the first thing right out the gate is anger. You understand, anger is a weight and a sin that can beset you, and it's very hard to consider him when I'm angry about something else. And so I need to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Filthy communication, there's a lot of different definitions that we could go into on that. But you can imagine communication that's filthy, communication that's not based on truth. Communication could mean more than just what you say, but a way in which you live that reflects something that you know quite well is not honoring to God. Communication can also be communication, not necessarily that you say, but that you listen to. You don't need to listen to filthy communication. Bible says in verse 9, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." I put off filthy communication. I put off anger. Now, the Bible just says that. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Put it off. You understand, sometimes you can carry something for a long enough period of time where you're not even sure how to get rid of it. You wouldn't even know where to disconnect it. Like it's grown into you. And we try to use that as a justification for holding on to it and hanging on to it. And I'm here to tell you, before you leave this church today, you can come forward and bow your head before God and put off anger. You can drop it and be done with it. It might require some humble pie and some shoe leather and a lot of humility, but the Bible says that you can't consider him properly if you're so angry that it's preventing you from considering him. Verse 10 says, "And have put on the new man, which was renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So I put off the old, and we talked about that, and I put on the new. And here's the definition, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And have all, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving all thanks to God and the Father by him. Here's how I consider him. I do all towards him with charity and thankfulness. And you know, it's really hard to consider the other things in life that ought not be considered when I'm singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs in my heart. It's real hard to be focused on the things that I'm angry at when I'm focused on always remaining in a forgiving state of mind. How do you consider him? Well, the Bible laid out a pretty clear blueprint right here. Charity, peace, thankfulness, wisdom, admonishment of each other, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, giving thanks to God and the Father by Jesus Christ. That's how I consider him. The Christian life is one that's to be lived in consideration of the author of Christianity, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. It's so hard to consider him when we have so many other things we're considering. It used to be that you could go out of church on Sunday and you were lighter and you were recovered and encouraged and strengthened. And sometimes that would go for a couple weeks. Now, in the society we live in, specifically where I'm from, by the time they come back Wednesday, they look like they've been in a fight. I'm like, what in the world? Well, because they go out and they have their presets on their radio. And by the time they get home, most everything they've got from Sunday is gone, and they turn on the TV. And they relax until they got to go to work tomorrow, and the TV, through whatever, pumps in whatever. And then they sit on their phone after they watch TV for an hour before they go to bed and look at the opinions of everybody. And then they get up in the morning and they grab their phone and look at whatever opinions everybody shared overnight. And they get in their truck and turn on the radio and let somebody share their opinion about the end of the world and how everybody's bad except for the people that agree with you in your echo chamber of life. And then you get to work and they have the radio on, so you listen to opinions. And then you take a break and eat your sandwich while you look at your phone all day. And then you drive home, listen to the radio. And then you get home and you watch TV. And you go to bed, listen on the phone. And you do that all day long, every day, considering everything except him. Except him. There's a verse in Psalms that says, "Be still and know that I am God." We've forgotten how to be still. You know, it's okay. You can drive to work in silence. You know, you can relax without TV. You know, you can sit around a table, your family, and put a game on that table and just let the natural course of events kind of go and see what happens. You can do that. But we're so addicted to considering everyone else's opinion all the time. We don't even know we're considering it. We're just exposing ourselves to opinions of everybody all the time. Y'all have church camp here? Is it here? Is it out a ways? It's out. You have TVs there, media there. Isn't it wonderful? Growing up in church camp, we'd go to church camp, family camp. When I was a kid, it was youth camp. It turned into family camp, and that was the biggest thing, moving to Utah. You know, the biggest thing my kids struggle with, and they still struggle with, is what they camp. You know, the very first family camp, my son was, Lachlan was zero. So his life, they didn't know life without going to family camp every year. This was a great thing. And I remember we'd go to family camp, and after that week of just messages and fellowship, there were songs and sitting around campfires at night talking about the services. Get in the truck and you drive out, and my wife's like, let's get a coffee for the drive home. Yeah, sounds great. Let's get a coffee. And I walk into Starbucks, and I just thought, I just want to go back out. Like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I just want to go back out where I don't have to consider anything else but him. I miss that. I miss that so much. You know, you can make that. You can make your home a sanctuary that's not inundated with the opinions of the world. You can do that. Turn it all off. Be still and be quiet with the Lord in your home, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids. And just enjoy what the Lord's given you. We're so exhausted all the time. And I don't think we understand. You realize that's linked to someone exhausting you. We're so tired, but we won't just stop. We won't turn it off. You can live a life in consideration of him. You don't have to listen and consider all these other things that so many and so much of the rest of the world wants us to consider. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3, the Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I like that he gives the illustration of a newborn baby there. You know, when a baby's hungry, there's not much else that he or she will allow anyone else to do. I am hungry, and you are now going to know about it. In fact, you're going to know about it. Everyone in the house is going to know about it. And if you ignore me long enough, the neighbors are going to know about it. And they're just going to keep telling the whole world what they want. It's one thing, the sincere milk. You know, as Christians, we get so angry about so many things, but we often don't get very angry about not having access to the one thing that we should be considering. We've got access to everything else. We're going through life with 15 pounds of chains tied to us, tied to another 1,000 pounds of weights, unsuccessful, unbroken, lost our ability to blush, with zero compassion for the lost, and we come to church and wonder, why are we so tired? All we do at church is get rid of all the opinions, and we run out of time before we can actually consider the opinions that matter. And so you can live a life in consideration of him, but it takes the laying aside of sin, which means you're either going to, whatever sin that you just thought of, you're either going to lay that aside before you leave today, or you're going to take it with you, knowing that it's going to weigh you down. I don't know why you would, but we do. And so number one, how do I properly consider him? Well, I have to lay aside the weight and sin. And like the first message that we shared, that's not done. Sometimes it's private matters can be handled privately, but sometimes it needs to be a public matter. I need to lay it down, which might mean standing in front of the church God called me to be in and saying, without specifics being given, I've not made a life of laying down some things, and I need to, and I'm sorry, would you forgive me? And do it right. Do it above board. Why do you think the Lord put you in a church? You know, understand that you all are supposed to help each other be accountable. So why not make yourself vulnerable enough so that people can actually hold you accountable? Vulnerability is scary, isn't it? Because they could hurt you. You know what? I'm gonna tell you something. They will hurt you. People will hurt you. On a long enough timeline, every human will prove to be, in fact, human. There's not a man I've ever met that hasn't done or said something at some point in my life, and I thought, knife in the back on that one. Pretty sure you hit bone there. Well, you got a couple choices to make. Be super mad at him because he's supposed to be more religious and more righteous than you, and how dare he hurt you? Or realize that he's human, and that even if he understands or doesn't understand that he or she made a mistake, you can forgive them and move on with life. Just move on. Number two, back to our text in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. So number one, we found the Bible says laying aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Number two, how do we consider him? Chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's number two? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And then it gives us a context of how we look to him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 and chapter 1, verse 18 both give similar definitions to the existence of God. It says, behold, I am alive and was dead and will be alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. He refers to himself in all three tenses of existence, future, past, present, all in the now. I don't even know how that's possible. And then he goes on to say, I have the keys of death and hell. And we know that because the Bible says in Colossians, he made a show of them, openly spoiling them. How do you consider him? Well, it's really hard to consider him when I'm not looking at him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. That verse always just blows me away. The joy? The joy? Despising the shame. The joy. He endured the cross with joy? He despised the shame, but his endurance of the cross was done with joy. Despising the shame. Set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Where is my Savior now? He's on the right hand of God the Father. Perfect equality with God. The Bible says, look to him. Look unto Jesus. Where are you looking today? Where are you looking? What about your life would change today if you looked to Jesus? We look at everything else. We've got our internets figured out so that we can type in just the right phrase that shows us all kinds of things we shouldn't be looking at, but that nobody would, you know, well, it's a mistake. I didn't actually. We got it all figured out. We know how to work around all the things. We know how to do all the things. We know to get our comfort. We know where to get our emotional support. We know how to do all these things. We're considering all these things. We're looking to our own devices and to our own desires and to our own satisfactions. Where are you looking today? The Bible says it's really hard to consider him if I've got sin separating me from him. And number two, it's really hard to consider him when I'm not even looking at him. I'm not even looking at him. I'm looking at everything else. Author is a word that means chief leader or captain, and finisher is a word that means completer or consummator. He is the one who saved me. Why do we think that it takes Christ to make me Christian, but that then I could then go on and be Christian without him? When did we start thinking that? Well, I got saved, Lord. I'll take it from here. Do you understand it takes the faith that it took to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is the faith that it takes to live the Christian life. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. This is something that I give over to the Lord daily. I'm not getting saved every day, but I am dying to my flesh every day. As long as I'm in this body, my body is trying to take over. My flesh is trying to take over. And the Lord says, it's really hard to consider me when you're so busy considering you. I tell my kids all the time, because kids fight. Did you know that? Maybe yours don't. Mine do. And sometimes it's, you know, World War III level stuff. You know, I'll never forget. Well, no, I'll tell you. My brother, I was bigger and stronger than my brother for a little bit. One day, Roman started to get bigger. And God help me, stronger. The problem was that when we were kids, I couldn't catch him. And he would do something and he'd take off running. I couldn't catch him. And one day, we were at each other's throats. We were doing something pretty good. He about had it. And so, have you heard the piano strings story? My mother had this piano, and it would come from the church. And it was untunable. Can't save it. Big upright piano, stood about that tall. She said, I'm going to work today. When I come back, I want that piano gone. It took four guys to get it in the house. And so my brother and I, we get it, just the two of us, we're, you know, big guy. We get it out the back door and down into the backyard. And she had told us, I want that thing small enough to fit in the trash can. So, you know, like, all right. So we've got some hammers and we're going to town. And we had started some discussion. We were just at each other. We're just needling each other. Which maybe started as a joke, but then someone took it seriously. So I told him, I'm like, keep on how you are, bud. You know how this ends. And I remember him, like, realizing it may have ended like that in the past, but it's not going to end like that today. And so he reached down and he grabbed, you know, the piano strings. We had ripped them all out, you know. He grabbed that bass piano string. I was bending, I was wearing shorts, you know, I was doing something. He whipped that thing around, and it expanded. It wrapped around my leg, and then he jerked. And instant anarchy. I turned around, and he was just as shocked as me. I was like, all right. I grabbed two more strings, and he got a good rep, and he grabbed another one. We were back there with piano chords having at each other. At some point, my mother came home. And my mother was not a typical mom. This was back before vanilla Coke. She used to get Diet Coke out of the refrigerator and put vanilla in it. You know, that was her thing. And then she kept Reese's peanut butter cups in the freezer. Don't touch her Reese's peanut butter cups. Those are her Reese's peanut butter cups. They were numbered. Don't touch them. And so she got a couple of them cold Reese's peanut butter cups and a glass of ice cold Diet Coke, put a little vanilla in there. And she sat down at the kitchen and looked at us in the backyard and just having at it. We looked like we had gotten to a fight with stingrays or something. We were just messed up. She finally came out and she said, you two quite finished. Yeah, we're finished. What were you fighting about? Not quite sure. But I'm going to say that I won. He's like, you didn't win nothing. You look like you won. She put us in the tub and lidocaine, just poured it over. Ooh, boy, that hurt more than the piano strings. But we were at each other's throats. I tell my kids when they do that, you know why you're fighting? Well, because he did this. No. Well, she said this. No. Well, you don't understand the backstory. My parents did this. That's not why you're fighting. Well, my daughter, my son did this. My wife did this. My husband did this. That's not why you're fighting. Do you know why you're fighting? Because you're thinking of you, and they're thinking of them. And neither one of you are considering him. And so you're fighting. And that's as basic as it is. You say, well, you don't know the story. I'll promise you my stories are more interesting than yours. And when I came down to realize that, I'm thinking of me, and I'm not considering him, and that's why we're fighting. That's as basic as it is. There's not much more to it than that. And so if I'm going to consider him, I have to be looking at him. When I'm so mad at you, I can't take my eyes off you, it's really hard to be looking at him. When you're so mad at somebody else because you can't just, it's really hard to be looking at him when you can't stop looking at someone else because you're so angry. Revelation chapter 1, 8 and 11, I read those. Let's just go over there a couple more. Revelation 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 11 says, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto the Laodicea. These are all the seven churches. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in the book. How did he see it? He was looking at him. He was looking at him. If you go over to 17 and 18, chapter 1, 17 and 18, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and hell. Chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, and unto the angel of the church at Smyrna, these things write, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. How many times has he referred to himself so far as the first, the last, the dead, but now alive and will be alive forever, the Alpha, the Omega? He refers to himself all throughout Revelation as this. Revelation 21 and verse 6. Revelation 21, 6 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. We'll come back to that one in just a minute. Chapter 22 and verse 13, the Bible says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We're looking at everything else except for he that is first and he that is last. We're looking at everyone else except for the Alpha and the Omega, and that's why we're having such a hard time considering him. Chapter 21 and verse 6, the Bible says, and he said unto me, it is done. It is done. You say, well, it's not done with me. They cross lines. But it's done with Christ, so who do you think you are? It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You say, I just don't have any victory. Who are you looking at? I don't have any peace. Who are you looking at? The Alpha and the Omega gives freely. Why don't you have? The Alpha and the Omega gives those that are thirsty. Well, I'm thirsty. Well, who are you looking at? Who are you looking at? Number three, back to our text in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So we see number one, verse one, that I'm supposed to lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset me. Verse two, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, my faith. And number three, found in chapter 12, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. The Bible says, him that endured. You say, well, I've been through it. Really? You want to hold a candle to what the Lord's been through for you? You want to hold a candle to what the Lord's endured for you? And you can't endure a little bit for someone else? You say, I can't. It's because you're not considering him that did it for you. If I lived a life considering him that did it for me, I guarantee you I'd find it a lot easier to endure whatever for whoever else. We get so self-righteous. We get so right in our opinions. It's because we've stopped considering him. The word consider here is a word that means to estimate, to contemplate. It's like I'm going to hold it in my hand, and I'm going to move it around. And I'm going to look at all the angles of it. I'm going to see every angle. I'm going to consider it. I'm going to contemplate. The word endured means to stay under, to remain. It's fortitude and perseverance. Though you are suffering, to abide through. means to stay under the burden until the Lord takes the burden. Can you be someone the Lord places burden on? Are you so delicate and so important that you have to have a free set of shoulders? Can you carry burden? Well, I would if they appreciated it. It wouldn't be a burden if they did. We've talked ourselves into, well, if it was just the right circumstances, then I would obey the word of God. You understand, I was talking to your pastor yesterday at lunch, and I said, well, there's we were talking about churches. And I was like, there's a few that I think I could go to, which I'm almost positive would make those the ones the Lord wouldn't send me to. Like, well, if you think that you can go and do that over there, then there's this one over here that you probably are going to, you know, they actually need, you know, whatever. Yeah. So many times we're like, well, according to me and what I think and my contemplation, there's a section or a collection of strengths that I have, and they would be best over here. And the Lord goes, well, that's cute. That's great. I appreciate your input. But actually, I'm going to put you over here. You're going to say, but I don't like them. Right, but they don't like you either. Okay. Lord, I'm going to have to pray about it. Okay, well, who are you going to pray to? Because I just told you what I'd like you to do. Now, that's easy when we put it into the context of a church or a family, but sometimes put it into an actual blood family. You know, it's not a mistake that you are in your family. Oh, boy, here we go. It's not a mistake that you're in your family. Which means when there's disconnects coming from the top down or from the bottom up, someone in there, or both, is not considering him. You say, well, you don't really know what you're talking about. Fair, probably don't. But I do. And I don't need to prove it to you. The Bible is very clear. Consider him. Well, I've got these other things. Stop. Are you a Christian that the Lord can put a burden on and ask you to carry it until he takes it? Or are you not? And I'm telling you, if you're not considering him, then you're not. If you are considering him, then with God's grace, that's exactly what we can be. We see that being wearied and faint is only inevitable. But for the grace of God, through the command of God's word to consider Christ, the author and finisher, the Alpha Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. It's him that lets us carry these things, because it's not us carrying them. It's him carrying them and using us to do it. Have you considered him? Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. The Bible says here, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see. Consider him. And once you've considered him, you come tell me that you didn't like what you had. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He is good. He is good. We already read this, but we'll read it again. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says here, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you've tasted the Lord's grace, then why can't you be gracious? Is that a fair question? You understand when you are in receipt of the grace of God, there's nothing that you shouldn't be able to be gracious. Now, I'm not saying there's things that you can't. There are going to be things you have to stand against. There's going to be lines that you have to draw according to the doctrine of the Word of God, but that doesn't mean you can't be gracious when you're doing it. Gracious. How do you consider him? That's where grace comes from. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 6. The Bible says here, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This is one of the most popular verses that people always bring up to me in defense of Arminianistic theology. Now, you can get saved, but if you fall away, it's impossible for you to get saved again. And I find that interesting. I'm helping these guys that are in the church right now. They've got a Russian background, and Russian Baptist belief is very Arminianistic, which means that you can get saved and lose your salvation, as opposed to Calvinism, which means you can't choose to get saved. You're chosen, but then you're saved forever. And the biblical view is in the middle, but you've got these peripherals just like everything else. And I find it interesting when I read that, that's not what that verse says. It doesn't say it's impossible to get saved again. It means for those who have gotten saved, it's impossible to fall away. It doesn't mean you can't become a sinner and be a sinner. It doesn't mean you're not still human. What it does mean is that it is impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, to have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again. It can't happen, because once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you can't not know that. I sat with a guy on the beach of a lake back before I was in the ministry, so I was in South Dakota, a guy named Matt. He had gotten saved, gloriously saved. He was in a relationship with a girl. Doesn't matter. And that relationship ended. And he dove hard into kind of going backwards a little bit. And he called me one night, 2:30 in the morning, drunk, mad. I said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm at Wall Lake on the beach." I drove out there, got my truck and drove out there. Here he was sitting, beer bottles all around him. I said, "Matt, what are you doing?" He started crying and told me all this stuff. And this is the comment he made to me. He says, "I can't go back." And I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about? To church? Of course you can come back to church." He's like, "No, I tried to go, I'm trying to go back, like party." And yeah, he's like, "I wish," now remember, he's inebriated and very drunk, "I wish I never would have gotten saved." Now, what I heard him say was, "God won't leave me alone, and I wish he would." But he wouldn't. He wouldn't leave him alone, because he won't. It's impossible. Even then, he knew the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We get ourselves into problems because we don't consider him. We're considering the situation. And we're considering, you know, I've heard, I can't tell you how many times I've said, you know, I'll tell, here's what the Bible says, and it's this number right here. "Yeah, but brother, this is different." It's not different. The Bible applies to you. You're not different. It doesn't depend on the situation. What it depends on is, who are you considering? Are you considering the antagonist? Are you considering how you think things should work? Are you considering all the lies that most likely have been told by all the players up to this point on both sides of any situation that you can possibly think of? Are you considering all the noise? Or are you considering him and the word that he laid out? It applies to you. But it's really hard to consider him when I have sin that separated me. It's really hard to consider him when I'm not looking at him. And it's really hard to consider him when I'm not considering him, when I'm not estimating him, when I'm not staying under the burden that he placed on me. The fourth point, back to our text in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, or excuse me, 4, I'm sorry. Hebrews 12, 4, the Bible says, "He has not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." The fourth point is, number one, lay aside his weight and sin to consider him. Number two, I have to look at him to consider him. Number three, I have to consider him if I'm going to consider him. And number four, I have to resist and strive to consider him. I have to resist and strive. The word "resisted" means to set down troops to withstand. Striving means struggle against. Resistant, it's something, the idea is, this is your power, and I'm going to send another power to it. And the saved is the power of Christ within me. I will resist so that I have to consider him. It's a resistance. There was, you know what, psyops, PSYOPs, psychological operations in the military. We had this big truck, and it's got all these speakers on it. And it's supposed to, like, pump out words of affirmation, whatever, in the Farsi language, things like that. So I'm inside, I've got a PSYOPs truck assigned to me. I'm deep in Fallujah, and it's that time of day, and they go into prayer mode. So all the mosque, you hear them like, and they go and they start praying. I hate that time of day because you can't fight anymore. It's like this stupid unwritten rule. Well, they wrote it down. That's why I had to obey it. Is when they're in prayer, you can't fight. And you can't attack the mosques because it's holy sites, right? This was back when I was in there. And so where do you think all the guns were? Of course, they put them in the mosques. So I just had it one day. And they're all doing their praying. I'm like, today, I feel a little bit naughty. I went and grabbed one of them PSYOPs trucks. I had this collection of music with me. You could hook it right up to a CD player. So I hooked up a CD player and put in an artist. I won't tell you who he is, but he sings about an American woman. And I blasted as loud as I can during their prayer time. American woman, get away from me. American woman, let me be. The whole thing. Oh, I did the whole, and oh man, they got angry. You know what they did? They did exactly what I wanted them to do. They started shooting at me from the mosques. Because when they shoot at me from the mosque, now I can shoot back. And I was like, here we go, buddy. Thank you for the invite. Now we can actually get to work. Sometimes I just, stupid story and a stupid example to say that in order to consider him, I can't consider anything else. I have to resist. I have to strive against the thing. Sometimes I've made a point up to this point in the message to say that we can passively consider things, but you don't understand. Sometimes you have to resist things that are demanding that you consider them. There are things in this life that will push their way into your world, and it's okay to resist and strive against those things. Strive against them. Resist them. Put your force back into it. And it's not you, by the way, that's doing it. It's you trusting the Lord. The Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Resist. Hebrews 10, 32 through 37. Hebrews chapter 10, 32 through 37. The Bible says here, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye become companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. A better and more enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which ye hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. I'm telling you, it's just a little while longer, and he's coming. He's on the, folks, he's coming. Do you understand that? He's coming. The Bible says his hand is even at the door. He's coming. And it won't be much longer, and we get to go home and we don't have to do all this anymore. But until then, we are to consider him. We are to consider him. We are through compassion. All these things the Bible just laid out. Hebrews 12, excuse me, where was I? Hebrews 10, 32 through 37, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Cast not away therefore your confidence. It's okay to be a confident Christian. It's not okay to be an egotistical one, but it is okay to be a confident one. How do you be confident? I'm resisting and I'm striving. I'm considering him. I'm looking at him and I'm laying aside everything that doesn't have anything to do with him. You can't have that confidence if I'm not laying aside sin. You can't have that confidence if I'm not looking to Jesus. I'm not considering him. I can't have the confidence to resist if I don't have any power that gives me resistance. Call to remembrance, it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The Bible says here, "Therefore hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way for you to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." You can bear it. You can bear it. You can't bear it by yourself, but you can bear it if you're considering Him. You find the same thing in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And then you find the same thing in reference to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 7. And all throughout the Bible, you find the great and magnificent power of God in the Christian to resist the power of the devil. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So four things before I give you just kind of a closing thought. Four things. Number one, I need to lay aside every weight and sin that keeps me from considering Him. Number two, it's hard to consider Him when I'm not looking at Him. Number three, I just consider Him without considering or giving weight or credence to any of the other noises in my life. Number four, I have to resist and I strive against sin. And the final closing thought, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, 25 through 29. You see there in verse 4, it says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Almost gives the notion that you will. And the final thought here, Hebrews 12, 25 through 29, the Bible says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Now, did you hear what that just said? "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Is he speaking? Then don't leave without responding. Don't refuse him that speaketh. "For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of things coming that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Refuse not. The word refuse means to beg off, to depreciate, to shun or decline. You can let the voice of the Lord shake your soul into repentance, or you can refuse Him and shake with the whole of the rest of all the earth at the end when there is no more room for repentance again. Either way, you're going to shake. You're either going to let Him shake you, or you're going to shake with the whole world when He comes back and shows us who He is. One way or the other, you will be faced with Him who you either are considering right now or who you're not considering. One of the most scary things in the Bible is Hebrews 12, 14 through 17. It says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness without, with no man shall see the Lord, looking diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." There will come a time when those who have not considered Him will all of a sudden really want to. And there won't be time. "No, Lord, I want to now. I want to consider You now." It's too late. It's too late. The Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time of salvation." Now. Now, we like to plan things in our life. You don't plan this. You just obey. Now is the accepted time of salvation. So who are you considering? Are you considering yourself, your desires, your wants, your hurts, your victimizations, your anger, your wrath, your malice, your evil speakings? Is that what you're considering? Or are you laying aside every weight and sin and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Are you considering Him who for the joy of the cross, despising the shame, laid down his life as a payment for our sin. Are you resisting and striving against sin? Or are you just floating through life from one easy, comfortable moment to the next? What kind of Christian are you? Who are you considering? And if this message has talked to your heart and the Lord wants something from you, then may I ask that you today decide to not leave out of here before you make a commitment to consider Him for the rest of your life.